My name's Mark Moss. I am the executive director of 712 Academics for North Kansas City Schools, which basically means I work with our middle school and high school principals, which we have four each, as well as overseeing our counselors. So while I oversee and support our counselors from the district office, they're also assigned to our building. So it's ensuring alignment. It's ensuring we get certain things done for all students. We have about 21,000 students in our district. So at the secondary level, we're looking at right around just over 10,000.
Wow. So 10,000 students. So how many schools is that?
So we have several years ago, we realigned our boundaries. So we have direct feeders. So within our schools, we have 32 schools and two centers based on special education. But when you start school in kindergarten, you will be basically with the same cohort of students all the way till your senior year of high school. So we have four high schools that break into a high school, middle school, a sixth grade center that is shared, and then anywhere from five to seven elementaries that feed that high school.
Wow, that's really big. It's a big district, Mark.
It's all perspective.
I guess so. I come from my high school was 800 students.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I graduated with 71, so even smaller. Yeah.
Yeah. So you knew, so similar, you knew everyone.
Yeah, that's why I tell everyone. I'm like, I knew everyone.
Yeah. Sounds like it's not that way at NKS.
No. We graduated about 1,600 seniors each year, and our class sizes range anywhere from our largest high school has about 450, 475, and our smallest has usually about 300.
And you've been using Schoolinks for about a year?
Yeah. So we did our first year with Schoolinks over the 21-22 school year with all 8th through 12th graders.
So what made you actually look for a platform? Like, before we get into what you're doing with it, so what, all the way at the beginning, what made you actually go and find, you know, look for a college career readiness platform?
So several of our districts that are close to us use other college and career platforms. We had tried one previously, which was met with very little success. So we went out on an RFP last year and just started exploring what options there were. We learned about Schoolinks through our deputy superintendent, who attended a conference and heard from the CEO, learned about the platform and thought, hey, we definitely want to hear more from them. So we had about five or six respond, and then we narrowed that down and did some more specific interviews. But we wanted something that our students could engage in that they felt was truly valuable. Right now, we have our students do a college and career plan before Schoolinks on a piece of paper. And that piece of paper was filled out, put in the counselor's drawer, never to be seen again for another 12 months. So we wanted something more interactive. And at the same time, we were implementing college and career pathways. So right now we have it for all of our freshmen. They're aligned to one of four pathways within our high schools. We wanted some tools for students to not only explore their interests, but also their aptitudes, look at local job markets, look at regional job markets, look at schools that would align to their potential career and degree interests. So there were just several factors coming together, and we thought that we needed something that was more than just the knowledge within our adults' heads to support our students and families.
Yeah, we hear that all the time, especially with the paper. You heard me smile, yep. Or you saw me smile on that one, because it's the funniest thing, you know, when I hear from districts and their first inclination is, oh yeah, we write everything down.
Yeah.
We document everything. We're good without Schoolinks. And then once they have Schoolinks, they're like, oh, we didn't use any of that information.
No, it's literally on a piece of paper, never to be looked at again. And it's really a toss up whether or not our parents truly engage with it. And we wanted something that didn't rely on a student taking a piece of paper home, getting it in front of their parents, getting that piece of paper returned, just the inefficiency in it in 2021-22 just doesn't make a lot of sense.
So you said how you know you had a platform before, but it wasn't really successful.
Yeah.
And you talked about the efficiency. Was one of the things, you know, in terms of why that wasn't successful, was it about just the efficiency or was it also about lack of engagement, lack of use, lack of processes? Like what else were you guys really looking for?
We did not have a great process. That is true. Internally, we didn't build a great system to support the platform. We also found the engagement piece for our students was not high. And for our students and parents, they felt like there was almost it was communicating so much that they shut down. So
yeah.
All messages, all contacts, all email, it just gets blocked or sent to file 13. So no one has to look at it. So right. We knew we had to have a balance of how students and families would interact with the platform. And the other platform was much more focused on college scholarships and some pieces there. So it was just this constant. Parents were saying that there were times where they had 5 different contacts from the platform on a daily basis. And so what happens is you just shut down and turn it off and it's gone.
Yeah. Over communication, it's almost worse than no communication.
Yes.
100%. Yes. So you start looking for a new platform. Mm-hmm. Your superintendent gets to meet with our CEO founder, Katie, at a conference. You do the RFP. What was the evaluation process like? Did you have students involved? Did you see demos? Was there, I assume there was a rubric because it was an RFP. Like how'd that process go?
So we did an initial review of all submissions from across the country of those organizations and businesses that submitted. And that involved counselors, administrators, central office administrators, a couple teachers, all were part of that process to narrow down our initial look. So we narrowed that initial 7 down to 3, and I can't remember if it was 7 or 8, regardless, but the initial group down to 3. And then at that point, we asked each of the platforms to kind of give us a demo of an hour and also to send any information forward ahead of time that we could dig into. Because you could imagine you guys have responded to RFPs. There's a balance also in providing too much information and not enough. So really trying to dig in and highlight. We did not involve students, which looking back, I wish we would have. Right there, ultimately the end user. I will say we had parents represented just because there were people on the panel that work for the district that also served that dual role as a parent at home. But probably the most impactful thing we did was ask for other districts, particularly like-sized districts, districts that use our same SIS, any of those pieces that we could gather and put together to really learn more about how they would work together was really important to us. So I think that was probably, besides the hour which we had with your team, which was great, that calling a couple other districts and just digging in and finding out some more information was as much of a key as anything else to our decision to go with Schoolings.
That's great. So you've now been using it for a year. How was that what was that implementation like? How did that go? Was it smooth? Did you say you're using it for all high school students, I think, mm-hmm. 9 through 12? So what was that implementation like, you know, in terms of getting it set up, you know, on the technical side, rolling it out to the students, to the faculty? Was everyone happy? You know, kind of give a little view to that world.
So the technical side went fantastic. Getting everything uploaded. We're a clever district, so that helped obviously a lot for loading students and easy access for all of our faculty. So those pieces were really good. The one thing that in coming out of COVID, we were a little bit slow into implementation. I definitely would not have waited till August looking back. We just, the way our calendar worked out and the way our board was approving contracts at the time, we were not able to get everything uploaded for our counselors. And our, we have college and career facilitators, well, as well as our administrators, until August. And that's just a crazy time. We have new students enrolling. We have students requesting records. We have schedule. We have kids asking to get out of classes or change classes. Or so that made it really hectic to get it rolling. I would say once we got into September and had a clear implementation plan of how we wanted our students to engage with it, it was very successful. So we had high engagement. And then about that same time, September and October, we started meeting and talking with, again, another district that you all suggested that used our SIS about having all of our students and what was their process for picking classes. And that was a big lift for us to get all of our courses in there, get all of our potential choices, how we sorted students within our college and career pathways. Because within that, we cohort our students. So I'll use my daughter as an example. She's in health and wellness in one of our high schools. So she's basically cohorted with that same 110 students that are in health and wellness each year. Junior and senior year, it looks different as more options become available, but it helped us. The previous year when we didn't have school links, we had some students pick English one, you know, freshman English for design, innovation, technology, but then biology for health and wellness. And so they ended up across different pathways. And this was able to allow us to really narrow that scope. So that implementation was really well. We had over 90% of all of our 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th graders submit their four-year plans within school links, which we call it an ICAP here in our district. But it is one of the requirements for our district. And it was to be able to do that and then upload that into our SIS was tremendous. We also had a positive parent interaction as parents were looking at that, whether they logged in through their student or logged in themselves. That was a really big win for us and jumped us into starting talking about adding 6th and 7th grade as part of our school links contract. And we did. So we look at this now as a 6th through 12th grade scope and sequence. And it's everything from college exploration, starting goals, creating resumes within the platform to playing the game of life, right? There's several pieces that are very interactive within there that we now have a scope and sequence for our 6th through 12th graders. So our rollout was a little slow, but once we got going, it was very positive.
So in terms of what you're using, it's actually more than my research had shown. So you got 6th through 12th graders using life and college. So the assessments, the game of life, mm-hmm. the college exploration, the exploration about themselves, all that stuff, as well as the course planning for 6th through 12th.
Right now we're just 8th through 11th for the course planning.
That makes sense.
Yeah, our middle schools and elementaries our middle schools and 6th grade centers, it's much simpler for those students to fill out a piece of paper than for them to get in our platform. But the platform was very intuitive for our students. They mm-hmm. were easily able to log into it, easily able to start selecting classes and understanding what that course plan looked like, identifying where there may be, it shows up on red in course planning if you don't meet a graduation requirement, right? Yeah. But easily able to understand that and then have that follow-up conversation with their counselors. So that was really good. We use some of those assessments and self-discovery pieces for our 8th graders as they decide what pathway they kind of want to learn through over the next 4 years. So we always tell students, you're not picking a career when you're getting into a college and career pathway. You're just identifying an area of interest is what you're doing. So,
right. And it helps because it helps, to your point earlier, it helps keep them focused on, if this is your area of interest, these are the courses that are recommended for you in school links for that. So that way, you know, it's not like when we were in school, it's not like at the end of it, I went to business school, but I had three AP science classes. Like those didn't really help that much, you know?
No, it narrows the scope of what students experience. So we have two different welding programs that students can go into, and off-campus programs. We have three campuses for early college that kids could go to. We have a NCAPS program, a career center. So by being able to narrow those options for students where they don't see everything has been really a positive for us, because it can be overwhelming.
Of course.
You know, when you have five different off-campus programs and as well as AP and dual credit and all these other pieces, to narrow that scope for our students is really key to helping them understand, to really make decisions based on their interests, than to just like lean over to their friend they're sitting next to and say, hey, what are you doing? So I'll do that too.
Right. And also having that flexibility that if the interest changes, you know how your courses and your future plans may have to adapt.
Yeah. And kids' interests change, right? The frontal lobe is not there yet. Just adolescent development wise, it's just not, they're still learning and growing, and we want them to do that. And this platform has really helped us get something that's very student friendly, as well as that's very adult friendly. It's very intuitive, is the way our teachers have described it.
Yeah. What are the reactions from the staff side, from your counselors, your career advisors? It sounds like you have a very built out, you know, kind of work-based learning career side compared to other districts I've talked to. Like, what's been the reaction from those staff members?
Our teachers have loved how easy it is to use. So when they're working with the student on their course planning, that's in their advisory usually, very easy to use for our teachers. They're very appreciative of that. Our counselors love the fact that they can sign off on every submission by their alphabet of students or grade level of students, right? Their groups of students that they work with, they really appreciate that. Our students find it super intuitive. And then we are adding the work-based learning functionality to School Links this upcoming year. So with our college and career pathways, we have some very specific goals. So all of our freshmen will experience at least two guest speakers per semester. During the sophomore year, they will write a resume and do a mock interview with a community member, not with someone internal. So that outward facing experience for our students is really important as they start building their network. We're great at teaching students about school. The majority of us, including myself, went to K-12, went to college, and then came right back to school. So that's been my life. I can tell you about the education area of it. It's that outside-facing network that is really what we're seeing from our college and career pathways, whether it's us posting job shadow experiences on the platform. We also are doing paid internships this summer through the school district, through our IT department, in our elementary classrooms. So all of those things that we're able to put out there on the School Link side has been where our students sign up, where they learn about it. It links back to, you know, our system for applications, as well as we have a foundation. We posted all our scholarships on there as well. So there
in schooling.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we posted all our scholarships. It links back to our foundation page. We're just trying to get students used to going to that one platform to be able to interact. And then because they're young and these things come easy to them, right? They have no problem getting in there and finding the different pieces of it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you were giving advice to a new district that was just starting out with School Links right now, what would that advice be?
Set high goals. As a team, we found Skolink's extremely responsible, or responsible and responsive. As we were going through the course planning and having our students use that, it was a huge undertaking. The biggest time that we've ever taken something outside of our SIS to start creating high school schedules. So set high goals, but also be reasonable. So we did like find your path, just to, let's try to get that in the first 6 weeks. Let's get students logged in to find your path and do find your path the first 6 weeks. So while we had high goals and you wanted to use the course planning, identified those really big things we wanted to get done, we also on the back end were very adaptable. So as we've rolled out, as next year we'll roll out to those sixth and seventh grade students, we know like, hey, let's take baby steps. Let's get them used to the platform. Let's get our counselors used to doing that, how we're going to fit this into the day, in the week, in the month. So we set some very high goals that we just wanted to knock out of the park, like course planning. And then we were adaptable on the back end. So we wanted every kid to do a resume in 10th grade. We wanted the course planning to occur. We wanted our counselors to sign off on that. So those were the real big chunks that we pushed out. And then on the back end, we just kind of monitored and adjusted. The other big piece of advice is don't wait till August to introduce it to those key team members.
Yes.
That was our mistake.
I've worked in ed tech a long time on LMS and performance and assessment solutions and other solutions. And August is just never a good time.
No.
Truly roll out anything. Earlier is always better, right?
Yes.
So I, you know, having worked in other ed tech platforms, I normally ask what's your favorite feature, but we've got over so many and it sounds like you're using so much of the platform. So I'm going to ask it more this way of, what's your favorite thing about Skolink for your district?
The number one thing that I think I love about our district is how easily students can interact with it. It's very intuitive. So our students who, we had students who had not logged in January, getting ready to do their course planning. But when they logged in, they found it very easy to use. So if they had two steps, you know, hit this button, go here, hit this, you can start picking classes. It was very intuitive for them to interact with. We had other students, after the first time they logged in, they did almost everything within there. They started making career goals. They found the colleges. They started tagging those colleges. They played the game of life with five kids in a lake house and all of these crazy things. And what does that truly cost? Whether the student was highly engaged in the platform or even a new student that came in January that we had to do the course planning through there, it was so intuitive for them. And that takes pressure off our teachers. So if it's intuitive for them, it's intuitive for teachers. They have a much, because they're also worrying about teaching the content, the state test, the standards, the industry alignment that we bring into our curriculum with College and Career Pathways. So the easier this is for them, the better it even is, right? The better experience it is for our students. And then, that was the biggest piece, is that intuitive piece, how easily our students engaged in it. And we learned this from another district. It was Spokane that we spoke with that said that they had a previous platform that they found that their schools with the lowest socioeconomic status had the highest engagement. As the district had a higher level of students in need, the engagement in the platform went down. When they adopted Skolink, that changed. It evened out. So I think that speaks a lot to the way students receive the platform and how they're able to take it in very easily. And we have schools that have, you know, students that qualify that are 70% economically disadvantaged. So we needed a platform that could serve all students and that all students found value in. So that really important things for us. But I must say Spokane was very helpful for us in this process as another, you know, 20, 25,000 student district.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the time. And thank you for sharing your story and what you're doing. And we'll be talking to you more in the future.
Yeah. There's anything you guys ever need, please let us know. And I'm very excited to bring on sixth and seventh grade students, as well as the work-based learning functions for our college and career pathways. So it's going to be a great partnership, we hope. Hope it continues.
Absolutely.